This is The Spark. I'm Martha Woodruff. Charlottesville's Susan Scalak contacted me to suggest herself as a guest on The Spark. You see, Susan is a person on a mission, and she wants to get the word out about that mission. Susan Scalak grew up all over the South in a family of all daughters, fathered by an aeronautical engineer turned forest ranger.
So he had a love of engineering from way back and built things. And so there were no sons, and I was the boy in the family, so-called. So I grew up building things with my dad, and then I desperately wanted to be a veterinarian and ended up going instead to engineering school and ended up liking it because I was really good at math. I started at University of Tennessee, got out in the mid-80s when there were no jobs, and went back very quickly to graduate school, and I got a master's in mechanical engineering at Clemson University. And then I went to IBM, and I worked as an automation engineer training robots how to build printers. And so I did that for several years, and then they moved that, and I ended up in building copiers and didn't like that. Printers, we had 120 go off the line by the robots with some assistance from people about every 8 hours. Copiers, we were lucky if we had one go out a week, and I just found it terribly slow and boring. So I left and went back to graduate school at Georgia Tech. So then I ended up coming to University of Virginia and teaching in mechanical engineering.
Is that at all a male-dominated?
It's very male-dominated.
How did that work for you?
Because of being, quote, the boy in the family, I grew up hunting and fishing with my dad. And so I was just around men and boys all the time, and I was a tomboy, and it just never fazed me. I never really thought about it.
In other words, Susan Scalak was a can-do kid who grew up into a can-do woman. Then, however, came marriage, two babies, and as her husband was working 60-plus hours a week as a biomedical engineer, a stint staying home on the farm with two small children, a bunch of animals, and no adult colleagues.
That's the thing that's hard about transitioning out of work to stay at home, is that you really miss the social aspects of work, I think.
All right, so what'd you do about it?
When my daughter went to preschool, I started volunteering in the schools. And so I was volunteering in something called Art Print. I had been doing this for about a year, and I started thinking, you know, why doesn't anybody bring science or engineering into the classroom? So I went home and I started Googling, and there were lots of programs that taught the teachers how to teach. But I could only find one other program where somebody actually went into the school and brought activities. And it was a woman in California. And I emailed her and said, here's what I want to do. What are you doing? And it turned out she had just started a program in California called Science is Elementary. And we started corresponding and exchanging ideas. And so I went into the school and I talked to the principal and I said, are you interested?
Now, which school?
This is Brownsville Elementary, which is in Crozet, Virginia. My son was there. My daughter was in preschool somewhere else. And so I went in and I said, I have this idea. Are you interested? And she said, all right, well, why don't you talk to the teachers? So I went to a teacher meeting and I said, I have this idea. And I said, is anybody interested? And it was all quiet. And all of a sudden, one of the teachers, Laurie Campbell, shoots her hand up and said, we'll do it. And so I started with kindergarten. So I started that year with three little exercises for the kindergarten class. And the teachers and the kids loved it. And they said, we want you back next year.
Okay, stop. How did you know what a kindergartner would want?
Well, the standards of learning, or the SOLs, are all important. And so I said, I will help you bring more activities related to the SOL into your classroom. So what I did was I pulled the standards off the web and looked at them and said, okay, I can do these kinds of things. Would you be interested? And the teachers will say, we like this and we don't like this. And how about that? And so, I mean, over the years, things have changed and they're still changing. But that's pretty much how I got in. I just started looking at the standards, and then I would come up with some things, and I would show them to the teachers, and they said, okay, let's do that.
You sound a little bit like Maria von Trapp arriving at the gate with her luggage.
It is that way. It is that way.
Here I am.
I know, and when I walk into the school, I'm usually burdened down with boxes and, you know, trays of stuff, and sometimes I'll arrive with buckets of pond water. So I have all kinds of crazy things I bring in.
Going back to kindergarten and the three activities, do you remember what those three activities were?
I think one of them, which I'm actually going to do tomorrow, is the five senses. I have tops, They have stripes on them because the kindergartners have to learn their colors. And so we talk about color and mixing and sight. So they'll see the stripes and they'll be yellow and red. But when we spin the top, they'll be orange. We do a sound box where they can think about where the sounds, the marbles are, and there's a shape in the box, and they have to figure out what the shape is in the box. So we kind of started out with that, tasting the five senses.
Describe what goes on. There you are with a bunch of kindergartners, first grade, second graders.
All the way to, I go K through five. Usually we get them out of their desks. I start by introducing something that we're going to do and ask them something. Like the other day with second grade, we did a creativity exercise. So I asked the kids, you know, do you know what an engineer is? Some kids will immediately know what an engineer because their dad or their uncle is an engineer. Some of them will, of course, say the usual, it's a train driver. And then one kid I had actually said, an engineer is somebody that fixes somebody. And I said, really? And she goes, yeah, because you're injured, then they engineer you. So I thought that was a creative answer. So we talk about that, and then I ask them where engineers get their ideas. What do engineers do? What things have they designed? And the kids pretty quickly get the idea that engineers had something to do with just about everything in your life. So then I start them off this week, or actually last Friday, I gave them a box of parts, random parts, blocks, Legos, string, and they have balls that are sitting on one platform, and they have to get them into a cup on the other side of the platform and think of as many ideas as they can without touching the balls. And they come up with all kinds of crazy things.
And what's the atmosphere in the classroom like while this is going on? Do you get noise complaints from next door ever?
Usually they know I'm there, so they don't complain. But yeah, it does get a little bit loud. And they're excited. They're happy that I'm here. They're happy that we're doing really fun things. You know, I don't think they see it quite as maybe learning so much as just something fun to do.
Do you get any sense when you go in with K through five kids, what their attitude towards science and engineering is?
It's kind of all over the board. I think some of them, by looking at the media, have an idea that engineers or scientists can be kind of strange and crazy. And so that was one of my ideas, was that I wanted them to see that engineers are regular people, that they could be their mom or their dad or their brothers or sisters. I try to get volunteers from the local university. I get them from moms and dads. You know, I try to get people to come into the school so that they see that scientists and engineers are not these crazy people they see on TV or in the movies, that they're just normal. And that science and engineering can be really fun and not something that's intimidating, because so much of the press, they go, ooh, math is hard, or ooh, science is scary, or it's just that it's fun and it's interesting and there's lots to learn and it can be a great experience. I remember struggling through algebra, and I would come home and my dad, I would just be almost in tears trying to figure out these problems. And my dad said, it's just a puzzle. All it is a puzzle. If you treat it like that, it'll be fun. And I've remembered that. And I was really good at math. And so I just enjoyed doing math.
You run volunteers. It's not just you.
No.
How does this work and how did that come about?
We are asking for volunteers every year through parents. I sometimes go to the university and ask the engineering school or who else have I asked? The science students in the college to come and volunteer their time. And I just saw there's a great site called Sign Up Genius. And I just put up the schedule and I let people sign up. And then they have their emails when they get on there, and I email them the write-ups and tell them what we're going to do. And I have them arrive a little bit early and we talk about it and then we just go. So the ratio is small.
So you are always in there.
I am always in there.
Okay. But you have your assistant.
Yes.
Okay.
Or assistants. So we try to make it so that there are about only five students per one volunteer. Because if you tried to run a water experiment with kindergartners and you only had two people in the room with 22 kindergartners, you would have water everywhere.
Yeah, you'd have a lot of very damp children.
Yes. So, you know, we try to make it so that there are five children to one volunteer and that they get. And the other thing is, it's interesting, is I try to get people who are science or engineering literate, because even a third grader or a second grader can ask some very complex questions that you really have to understand science or engineering to be able to answer sometimes.
Can you think of an example?
I was explaining in fairly simplistic terms. We were making silly putty one day with third grade, and I was explaining how what we wanted to do was mix up borax into water. And I said, you want to keep mixing and mixing and mixing until it all goes in there. We're going to keep putting borax in. And one of the kids looked at me and said, wouldn't you rather call that a supersaturated solution rather than just mixing things? And I thought, well, yes, that's exactly what it is. So some of them can be quite sophisticated. It really runs the gamut. And I have one teacher who told me she had a student who was really struggling to read, but she loved science because of having us come in and do activities with her. She was really motivated to learn more about science and engineering because she loved our activities so much.
Wow. That'll set you up for a week or so, won't it? Make you feel worthwhile. Society is sort of science and math phobic. How about your volunteers, scientists, mathematicians, whoever they are they ever child phobic?
I've had some university students who were like that. I have one woman who told me, one thing I've learned in all this is that I never want to have children. And I laughed. I felt kind of bad. And I said, well, I actually felt that way too when I was 19 or 20. But I said, you know, you may change your mind when you get to about 30. So, you know, don't write that in stone yet. Just wait a little while. It'll pass. And it may not pass, but anyway, she learned at that point that was not an interest she had, was working with small children. I had one young woman who worked with me for years, and she was marvelous. And she came from the engineering school. She was a biomedical engineer. She wanted to be a doctor, and she said that working with me had changed her life because she enjoyed working with the children so much that she now decided that she definitely wanted to be a pediatrician.
Let me be crass. Are you making any money doing this?
No, we're losing money. My poor husband is funding this for the most part. Although I have to say the PTO has stepped up and has the last couple of years have, will reimburse me. But I started this week, I would just go. But I mean, a lot of the things I just are things that I pull out of the kitchen cabinet or at the grocery store or the hardware store or out of our barn. And I just try to, or I read my son's Legos. So I just pull out what we have and try to make do with it.
Now, are you doing it just in Brownsville or?
I am doing it just in Brownsville.
Okay.
It would be hard for me to go other places, but what I would like to see is that people who are science literate and are looking for things to do would pick up and do some of these things. And so I was actually listening to your show one day, and this woman, I think her name is Mary Lyons, was talking about a book she had written on iBooks. And I thought, that's interesting. So I went home and I looked up iBooks, an iBooks author, and I thought, oh, this could be interesting. I could actually maybe put these on and have people get them and read through them. And about that time, I had a meeting with the fourth grade teachers, and they said, we love what you're doing. Would you mind if we take three of these activities that you've been doing with us and let us do them by ourselves? And I said, sure, take them. Great. That's exactly what I want. Perfect. And they said, and we want you to come up with three more activities for us to do. And I said, okay. And I said, would it help if you had some kind of manual, like something on an iPad or something? And they said, sure, that would be great. So I went home and I started teaching myself iBooks, which has been a process. So I'm beginning to write these into modules, which I hope to get onto the App Store so people can get them free and then be able to do these activities in their own schools.
Remember back at the beginning of my conversation with Susan Scalak, I said she was a woman on a mission. So here's the mission. Why are you doing this?
When I was working for IBM, one day I just said, why am I building these printers for people to come by? And what am I doing that's making a difference in the world? I'm sitting at my little robot station training my robots to build printers. But, you know, what is this helping? Why is this helping the world? Is it helping the world at all? And that's when I decided to leave and go back to school. I decided I wanted to teach. And, and then having kids kind of changed my career a bit. And I ended up deciding to do this because it was something that I wanted to do. And it's something that I think is important because I think kids need to have science and engineering in their lives. We keep talking about STEM education and how important STEM is and getting it into the schools. And I just wanted to do something that made it really fun and that I could reach all the children in a particular school instead of doing an after-school program. I wanted everybody, because what happens in after-school programs is that you'll get the kids who are very science-oriented or engineering-oriented doing that, and those are not the kids you want to reach because they're going to find science and engineering anyway. So what I wanted to reach were the kids that absolutely hated it, and I wanted them to think about it, that it could be more fun.
What do you want from being on the Spark? As you emailed me about this isn't a business per se.
No.
You're not going to make money.
No.
What do you want? What do you
hoping? I just want to motivate people to get in their local schools. The teachers do a great job, but, you know, they have a lot of children. I could not do what they do. But, you know, it's great to go in and volunteer and give them another outside perspective and give them, especially in science and engineering, giving them those, having engineers and scientists go in to show them that there is a big wide world of lots of interesting things out there that they can learn about. And if you ask scientists or engineers, you know, how they got turned on by that and wanted a career in it, often it's because one person showed them something that was fun or different or exciting about science or engineering, and that became their passion. And so if I can just get people to get into the schools and just reach one or two kids to say science or engineering is really interesting and fun and it changes their mind, then that would be a success.
You'll find a link to Susan Scalak's Elementary School Scientific Outreach Initiative, which she calls Easy as Pie, on the Spark page at WMRA.org, where you'll also find a link to Susan's blog telling of her tapestry works and adventures in trying to weave. And by the way, all the music you've heard in this segment was played by harpist and harp maker John Kovac of Front Royal, who'll be a guest next time on The Spark.